Hi, I'm Malcolm.
Hello, everybody. My name is Harris Pick.
Yeah, my name is Miles. I go as Miles from Home.
I'm Justine Tyrell, R&B artist.
And you're listening to Background Noise, the coolest Canadian music podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Background Noise today. My name is Tora, and as always, I am super excited for today's episode. It's just gonna be so much fun. We're chatting with Mallory Chipman, and we actually listened to a song way back on the Hendrika episode, but she's actually been suggested to me from a couple of other people as well. Tammy Joe from Biggie Radio told me to get her on the show. Hendrika told me to get her on the show, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but Mallory did a really cool, like, bird-themed concert a while back, and one of the ladies from the choir came into my store and asked to hang a poster, and I was like, yeah, of course, absolutely. And we talked about how great the music is, so I am so excited to chat about it and listen to it, and also such a range in sounds we're gonna hear today. I'm just so stoked to chat about it. So as always, I like to get the show started. I'll just let you, Mallory, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your shtick.
Sure. Well, first of all, that's so nice to hear that there have been people spreading the word about the music. That's, I think, what every artist hopes for. So that's really lovely. I am an artist and also do a lot of side person music work. I work as a producer. I work as an arranger and songwriter as well. I would say the main bread and butter of what I do is my own artist work. And I have been doing this full time for the last maybe 2.5 years, which has been really exciting. It's meant a lot of recording and touring and gigging and songwriting, which are my favorite things in the world to do. And recently, the music I've been making is sort of within the folk rock genre, but I consider myself an artist that really is someone who writes from multi-influential pieces of inspiration. So I really feel influenced by jazz and rock and Celtic music and progressive music and country and sort of, you know, I always try to not label the music into a narrow box because it comes from a lot of different places, and I feel like that's what makes my music sound like my music, at least to me, right? Sounds like the inside of my head, which has a lot of different things going on, so.
That's fantastic. And we are going to hear a little bit of all those sounds because you have a very, like, kind of more jazzy album, which we'll talk about. And then you have one that's, like, kind of heavy and rocky, and it's really cool. But first, I want to actually talk about your latest album, Songs to a Wild God. That one is definitely, that's more of like a folky kind of, a magical folky kind of feel, and I love it so much. So why don't you tell me a little bit about that album?
Sure, yeah. I'm really proud of this record. I released Songs to a Wild God in late September of 2024 and have really been living with it at the moment as well, because over the winter time living in Canada, it's hard to be touring. And so I have been spending a lot of my spring playing this music on the road lately, and it's giving me a fun renaissance with it all. It's an album that I wrote largely during the pandemic in its lockdown era. I think a lot of the records coming out in the last couple of years are from that timeline for many artists, because we had a lot of time where we couldn't be gigging or working in those other ways, but we could be writing. So it was a big writing period for me. It really, I think, speaks to what I was doing largely during those years, which was spending a whole lot of time where I could safely be, which was outdoors. And I grew up largely in Edmonton, but as a kid, I lived in Banff, right on Tunnel Mountain as well, for some of my formative years, and have always had a really, I would say, enchanted and infatuated relationship with nature. It's been something that I have found a lot of kinship in and grace and presence, and it has led me to feel like that is the place I go when I'm seeking groundedness or clarity. And I have never been a person who's resonated with organized religion or anything like that, but I have found what I think to be maybe something similar, which is this, yeah, real sense of peace and benevolence in nature. And so I thought I would write an album that spoke to that reverence and that sort of sense of wonder. And so that's where the title, Songs to a Wild God, kind of comes from. And it also takes inspiration from a great poem that suggests a similar thing, this unruliness that can still be considered maybe sacred or special. The poem's called Sometimes a Wild God by the poet Tom Hirons. And I recommend folks listening who like poetry to check that out. So I kind of wove that into the title as well to pay homage to that sense of inspiration. So most of the tunes on the album are rooted somewhere in the dirt or in the river valley in the garden came from that place.
That is so excellent. I love that so much. We're going to spin a couple songs from there. And the first one I want to chat about, I thought it would be a fun one to start the episode off with because you start the album off with it. And it's kind of like, it definitely has that very heavy poetry vibe to it. It's like almost a spoken word, but there's a cool like acoustic bit. And I do believe some wind going through it. So that is O Child of the Mountain God. Why don't you tell me a bit about that one?
So I have always kind of been wanting to write about the mountains where I spent a lot of time. I lived on Tunnel Mountain, but I spent a lot of time in and around Banff National Park and Kananaskis during that time in my life, and also since as a visitor. And I wrote this poem. It started as a poem before I set it to music, and the text did change over time, but I originally wrote it about 5 years ago while I was staring out at Rundle Mountain, just kind of from the banks of Vermilion Lakes, and looking at it and just being really struck by how massive it was. And you sometimes in those moments really realize like how long the mountains have been here and how much they have seen change around them. That's what birthed O Child of the Mountain God, which was sort of from my perspective how I feel standing amidst these giants. And it started as, like I said, just a poem, but I did compose some banjo parts and a little bit of synthesizer as well. And that wind sound you hear is actually also coming from a synthesizer. But I think it does a pretty convincing job of conjuring some of that, you know, breeze you might hear on Vermilion Lakes.
No, you did a great job because I definitely thought it was real wind. It made me think back to the Antarcticus episode and their album. And it's a really cool heavy metal album from the Yukon. Can't recommend them enough. But I remember them mentioning one of their songs has, because they were like recording in a shack in the middle of winter and the wind was coming through the shack and they're like, it's real Yukon wind. We're going to spin that song in just a minute, but I want to spin another one first too. We're going to spin the one that we heard in the Hendrika episode, Mythic Time. Why don't you tell me a bit about that song?
Sure thing. Mythic Time. I guess a piece of the album that I haven't really spoken to yet is also the way that we interact with folklore. And I feel like folklore, similar to nature, is one of the most sort of ancient things that we still interact with in the day-to-day, like old folk tales or wives' tales or, you know, whatever we might call them or know them as, inspired a bunch of this album as well. And specifically, this piece is about finding out more about yourself through mythology and legends. It's a tune I wrote when my dad, who was adopted when he was an infant, finally at 50 years old, met his biological family for the first time. And he had unfortunately made the connection only 6 months after his biological father had just passed. You know, as a result, never really got to ask him about what his life was like and heard it sort of secondhand through his half-siblings, which of course was still extremely illuminating, but different. You know, his family came from Slovakia to southern Alberta, and there are a lot of different traditions that they held and whatnot. And so in order to maybe get a glimpse into what that was like for him and that missing sort of puzzle piece, so to speak, I started reading old Slovak folk tales and making old Slovak recipes and just kind of seeing if some of those timeless mediums, you know, could maybe give me a little tiny window into what my Grandpa Merck's life would have been like. And so I wrote this tune about exploring a relationship or even a piece of oneself in mythic time.
That is so beautiful. We're going to spin both those songs right away here. We got O Child of the Mountain God and Mythic Time off of Mallory Chipman's latest album, Songs to a Wild God. And then when we come back, I want to talk about some of your older ones.
Do I hear you call on the banks of Vermilion? I listen closer as my lungs exhale the city and inhale the juniper and cattails. But only a thunderous silence. An oxymoron reserved for your earthly holiness. In your kingdom, the lichen is oranger, the air more crystalline. Gazing up and up to your crown, you stand mighty, yet calm. With peaks that prod at the moon and an underbelly so animal that fur grows, the winds yip and brooks babble. Your cap's white as salt, your shaly edges my silver hairs. Calling to you in our mother's tongue, my words tumble back to me, swept by the wind. I turn to go as your voice erupts, a baritone rumble. Welcome, O child of the mountain god.
Cold to the touch, it was old. I could tell that much when I caught my reflection in the glimmer of Russian marble.
Noise is brought to you by Easy Noise, Alberta's newest booking service for independent musicians and venues. Check them out on Instagram at EZNOIZE. Get connected and make some noise. Now back to the show.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. I hope you enjoyed those songs as much as I did. They make me want to go run out into the forest and touch some grass, to be honest. I want to bring it back to some of your older songs. So what I think is really cool, and I feel like after this episode, I want to go through and listen to your like entire discography, because you have such a range of sounds from album to album, which I think is just so cool. And so one of the ones I want to talk about, I want to bring it all the way back to 2016, which I do believe is your first album on Spotify, Nocturnalize. Specifically, we're going to spin Ode to the Unsung Diva, and that one is very jazzy, and I love it. So why don't you tell me a bit about that album?
Yeah, Nocturnalize was my first record, and it is proof that, you know, albums are a snapshot in time. And I remember before I put that album out, I was feeling a lot of pressure of like, oh my gosh, you know, will I ever be ready? And will this be my sound forever? And I spoke with a really great Canadian vocalist and arranger. Her name is Emily Claire Barlow. And she said to me, albums aren't about defining your sound. They're about capturing a snapshot of it. And we all hope that our sound continues to evolve and grow. And I felt way more empowered to release this, you know, after hearing that, because I thought, you know what, you're right. It's not about freezing this in time and going, this is it. It's about capturing a moment in time. And this album really captures a moment in time for me wherein I was writing a lot of tunes that I wanted to facilitate improv. I really love improvisation. I think that's the place, you know, that I feel maybe most free when I'm making music, is when I'm just spontaneously creating and interacting with other musicians on stage. And jazz and improvised music creates such an amazing opportunity to do that. And at this point in my life, I had recently graduated from a jazz studies undergrad program, and I was writing my own tunes, kind of going, okay, like, how do I marry some of these sounds with some of the sounds that I really felt connected to in my other listening, like rock tunes and whatnot. And there are some songs on the album that do lean a little bit more that way, where you can hear the fusion of genres more explicitly. But Ode to the Unsung Diva, I wanted to keep pretty straight ahead because it is a tribute that I wrote to a lot of women in the jazz genre specifically. However, like, this, you know, is something that I think sees no genre borders, women in music history who were kind of forgotten in time, you know, unless they were the absolute superstars of the era. And we see that in artists like Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and Billie Holiday when speaking about jazz. And I mean, those three and many others of their peers were absolutely deserving of that fame they received because they're amazing. But there were so many others as well, you know, left out of the history books. And I have no doubt that that was largely because they were women. And also, you know, I would say non-vocalists who were women at that time were especially forgotten in history. And so I'm talking about, you know, people like Kay Starr or Hazel Scott, some of these iconically amazing musicians who, when I took jazz history courses during my undergrad, I never found out about them. And meanwhile, like, Miles Davis has been quoted to say these are some of his favorite musicians, but they just didn't kind of stand the test of time, which is a very biased test because it's been informed by so many, you know, forces that have left a lot of people out. And so I wanted to shed light on them again, and I wanted to write a tune that every time I sang it, I could mention them on stage and send people home with a little bit of homework to do so they could check them out, because these are just such great artists. And so that is why this song kind of has that more kind of old school swing era sound, to try to pay a little bit of homage to that era of music. And the lyrics try to highlight that the unsung nature of their prolific and inspirational careers that surely have influenced many people who have, you know, had the opportunity to learn about these people.
That's amazing. Well, I'm glad we got to talk about them a little bit. And I do have some homework to do because I want to check these guys out after. The next song I want to spin is off your 2020 album, Aquarian, which this one is technically Mallory Chipman and the Mystics, which is cool. This album was a lot heavier in a way and almost had that like psychedelic heavy rock kind of feel to it. The song that really caught my ear was Cool Aid, like COOL-ADE, not like the drink for people looking it up. But why don't you tell me a bit about that album and that song?
Aquarian is an album that I released, yes, with Mallory Chipman and the Mystics, which that artist's name is only attached to that album. But I think you should also be able to find it on streaming under my own name as well. It's an album that is really close to my heart. Honestly, if everybody in that band still lived in Edmonton, I'm sure I would still be making that music with those folks because they're brilliant. And it's really where I wanted to kind of sit in that threshold between different styles. Like you said, there's definitely psychedelia in there. There's a little bit of maybe jazz influence, some heavier rock, prog kind of stuff. You know, there's one tune that kind of borders on like a pop ballad, but I really let myself just like dance in the margins for that album. And I had a lot of fun making that record. I made it with a dear friend of mine named Brian Rain. He is a brilliant producer and musician. His own musical project is called Ways in Waves. And it is very much also kind of proggy, multi-genre project as well. So if you dig the stuff you hear on Aquarian, you might like his music as well. But specifically Kool-Aid, it is a song that I wrote kind of utilizing that trope of, well, don't drink the Kool-Aid. And I just, you know, didn't want to actually spell it out like the drink for copyright reasons. But I was feeling that Kool-Aid drinking conformity kind of emerging at that time around me. Like some of this was, you know, more specifically around things like, oh, you know, I'm going to networking events within the music industry and just feeling like people are kind of just like, you know, schmoozing for the sake of schmoozing and not making like meaningful connections with one another. And we're just handing out business cards and like, let's not drink the Kool-Aid of pretending this is how we do this. You know, like we can build real quality relationships and work together in a way that is collaborative, rooted in like real meaning rather than just kind of like showing face. But more aggressively, I was seeing, you know, the Alberta government become completely, I mean, this is a personal opinion, obviously, but go down the drain. That was sort of around the transition wherein Rachel Notley had lost to Jason Kenney, and we elected this UCP government that were enacting a lot of really harmful policies, in my opinion. And I was watching people around me who I knew and loved just kind of accept it as the status quo. And well, the government says this is a good idea, so we're going to just support it or just, you know, not resist in any way. And I'm thinking like, what? You know, how do you not see that this is not okay? And yeah, I mean, this is something that is, oh my gosh, I can't believe, I don't know if I should even share this, but I'm going to say it. Buried deep in the recording, you might even hear some distorted voices that might even be recycled, garbled Kenny speeches. Might, because, you know, I won't be held liable for this. But yeah, it's in there. So it kind of came from a place of anger and rage, which like sometimes that's a great place to write a song from. And, you know, you need to rock out. So I kind of laid into a bit of a heavier sound with this tune. And I think processing some of that anger and rage through a song was like, you know, a healthy way to do it, all things considered.
Absolutely. And you know what? That is one of the nice things about being a songwriter or a musician is you're able to process these emotions and these feelings and these events in, again, in my opinion, what I would consider a relatively healthy way.
It's like, could have been a lot worse, you know, considering the options.
Yeah. Hurts nobody. You get a cool tune. We get a rock out. It'll be good. We are going to spin both those songs here. We got Ode to the Unsung Diva off of Mallory's 2016 album Nocturnalize, and then we're going to spin Kool-Aid right after off of her 2020 album Aquarian. And then when we come back, you sent me some songs from some other amazing local artists that I cannot wait to chat about.
Closes and the flame turns to a dim glow. The lights on stage then flicker out. Headlights are spinning about the show. After the hoots and hollers, once the music stops and the silence sets, she sheds a dress and made a face, and she takes stride with the rest. So to be a day and day and day and day.
Bless you out, but watch out the little dog. Be careful.
Is brought to you by Easy Noise, Alberta's newest booking service for independent musicians and venues. Check them out on Instagram at EZNOIZE. Get connected and make some noise. Now back to the show.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. We're chatting with Mallory Chipman, just an amazing genre-bending musician out of Edmonton here. And we listened to a couple of her older songs. You, of course, can go find those on Spotify, Bandcamp, wherever you listen to your music. This is one of my favorite parts of the show is you sent me some other artists that you really love as well. So I can't wait to chat with them. One of them in particular, Brett Hansen. He just dropped an album not too long ago called Confluence. And you are both featured on one of the songs, which we'll spin right away here, but you also produced that album. So why don't you tell me a bit about that.
Yes. So I'm going to admit bias right away. Brett is my long-term partner of 14 years. And so if I seem like I'm gushing more about him than the other artists, it's not because of any musical favoritism, but I just, you know, I love the guy. And he is a really great guitar player, composer, arranger. We have been making music together for a long time. We actually met playing in a band many years ago. And he is one of the busiest working side persons, I would say, that I, you know, have witnessed here in our community in Edmonton. He is somebody who plays with many artists, including myself, Paul Cornoyer, and Postscript. He plays in a Ukrainian folk and dance music band called Euphoria. He plays in another jazz ensemble, led by Joel Jeske, and he also does a lot of work with the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra and just as a freelancer. So wears many hats and has made a very robust career out of that, but for a long time was writing his own music that he would gig with and present a couple times a year, but that wasn't sort of his main bread and butter. Recently, in October of last year, he released an album called Confluence, which is his debut as a band leader, and I am super excited about this album. He asked me to produce it alongside, you know, multi-Juno winner producer Paul Johnston, who is an absolute heavyweight, also just the kindest guy you'll ever meet. And so Paul and I worked on this, producing the record and recording it out of the National Music Center in Calgary. Confluence came to Brett as a concept, being where two or more rivers meet, being a confluence. He wanted to showcase a collection of his songs that he believes are kind of at the meeting place of folk and jazz music. So while it's a really kind of guitar-led record, there are vocals featured on it. I sang on a bunch of these tunes, mostly in a non-lyric capacity, but also, you know, there's an amazing keyboard and synth aficionado from Toronto named Chris Pruden featured on this record, and another number of amazing musicians from Edmonton, Murray Wood and Joel Jeske, and then great percussion player from Calgary, Luis Tovar. So it was a really just like, you know, top-notch ensemble, and his compositions are so beautiful. So I'm a big fan.
Amazing. We're going to spin the song Heading North off of that album because you were featured in the credits on that one. I think you sing a little bit more lyrically in that one. That is a longer song as well too, and I am a sucker for a really long song. Why don't you tell me a bit about just like Heading North in general?
Yeah, like, you know, I'm glad you say you like long songs, because I think that's sometimes the thing when you're like making a record, you know, Brett had to go, do I really let them be long, because it's a lot more expensive to press double vinyl, but he just went for it and I'm glad he did. Heading North is a really old song. I think we wrote this about 10 or 12 years ago, so it was like really cool to only finally record it, you know. But he had written the melody and chords and whatnot entirely as an instrumental piece at first. And then he came to me and he said, you know, I've called this song Heading North and I want it to be lyrics. So it was kind of like the age-old songwriting prompt of writing from a title. And I haven't used that in my songwriting very often as a prompt, but a lot of songwriters do. It's really common in Nashville and whatnot to have a title and then you write the song based on that. And so this was my first foray into that kind of approach. And Heading North made me think of a lot of things. It brought a lot of imagery, especially living in, you know, a northern-ish part of Canada. There's a whole lot more north from here, of course. But thinking about some of the imagery that I associate with this part of the country and the beautiful, like, sunsets and sunrises and the midnight sun, and the idea of also striving for something that is maybe further and greater and beyond, and sort of pulling that sense of northern imagery into this idea of moving up or onward or to find your true north. So that's kind of where the lyrics came from. And funnily enough, I actually referenced this Heading North in a song of mine called Love Song Number One, which was a song I wrote for Brett about, you know, 10 years into our relationship. And so it was kind of funny. I pulled the title into that, into this other song as well, as a bit of an homage to our early collaboration together.
Oh my God, that's so cute. I love that. The next song I want to chat about that you sent me was one from Cynthia Hamar, and specifically A Little Bird. I love that song so much. And thank you for reminding me about Cynthia Hamar, because I've had her on my playlist for like ever, and this song in particular. And then I just kind of forgot, because I listen to so much music all the time. And then when you brought it up, I was like, I recognize that name. And I was going through my playlist, and sure enough, one of the songs were already in there. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad we get to play this one.
Oh, I'm just such a big Cynthia fan. I love her so much. She's actually somebody who, so prior to when I have kind of moved into being a fully freelancer here, I taught music at McEwen University for 7 years. I was working there, largely teaching in the vocal faculty. By the time I finished there, I was the head of the voice section. And prior to that, you know, I had taught kind of a whole smorgasbord of courses, songwriting, and, you know, led up different student bands and whatnot. And Cynthia is someone I met when she was preparing to audition for the McEwen music program. And she'd come to me for some voice lessons. And we just really hit it off. You know, she is such a creative spirit and writes such beautiful tunes, has one of the most unique voices I've ever heard. She wound up doing her full 4-year degree program in recording and production, but I had the pleasure of teaching her in a songwriting class for a couple of years. And since she graduated several years back now, I have had the pleasure of even touring with her. We did a tour together out east in Ontario and Quebec this past February. And she's somebody who I just really admire because she has this real tenderness to her voice. And I mean this as the hugest compliment. It always sounds to me like it's a little bit fragile. Like she sings with so much quiet composure that you just kind of wonder like, oh my gosh, is the voice almost about to break? And it never does. She has it so beautifully controlled. You know, she's a mom and she is somebody who I think also sees the world in a very similar way to me in terms of our relationship with nature and land. And we have bonded about these kind of subjects that we seem to cater a lot of our songwriting towards. And I feel like she captures so much tenderness in her music, whether she's writing about her kids or writing about the world around her. So I would highly recommend, you know, anyone listening to check her out, this song and beyond, or catch her live if you get the chance.
Amazing. Yeah, she is so good. I would love to see her live too. I'm definitely going to keep a closer eye on that. And finally, the last song I want to spin in this group is The Tree Song from Loud in the Pines. This album like just dropped super recently. It's called Every Color Left. And I thought it was appropriate because this is a very nature-y themed episode. The band is called Loud in the Pines. So I'm like, okay, well, we're going to play the Tree Song. So why don't you tell me a bit about those guys?
Yes. Oh my goodness. I met these guys fairly recently. The last couple of years, I'm not even sure where we first crossed paths. But they are a duo and they also sometimes play with a larger ensemble. They just released their brand new album and prior to that had a self-produced and self-recorded EP come out 2 years ago. And I actually think I might've met Kaylin, who is one of the people in the duo. I was working as the musician in residence at the Edmonton Public Library. And I actually remember she came in and she said, look, I'm making a new record and I have some questions about how to go about that. Because our first record we did entirely ourselves. And I remember like already just being struck by that because knowing someone's doing that all themselves, I mean, I know what it's like and it's so much work. And I was kind of like, damn, that's so awesome, so ambitious. And also good for you, you know, for like trying something new with this new record. And we kind of connected there and I crossed paths with them many times. I would say those two go out to see and support a ton of local music or other indie artists who tour through Edmonton, which I love to see. And I just went to see them play the Friday Night Live Spotlight at the Carrot a couple, maybe a month or so ago, because I knew I would be on tour myself when they had their album release and I really wanted to catch them live. And they were just, they're so great. I love their harmonies, their songwriting. They're not writing songs that are just, you know, a singular melody that's harmonized with a third on top or underneath. And there's no shame in doing that. I do that too. But they're writing songs with harmonies that are really unusual in a cool way. You know, like they trade off being the lead singer and the harmony vocalist, and they write with really interesting rhythms and just have these beautifully kind of vivid lyrics that always bring to mind a very clear picture to me. And I'm sure, and this is becoming a trend now, that part of why I'm drawn to their music is what they write about. They do write a lot about place and their sense of connection to place and, you know, nature, relationships, things that I think are just really universal, and it can be so affirming to listen to that. But they also specifically write a lot about place, with place being Edmonton and this city and, you know, the neighborhoods, and that can always feel extra special when you have a connection to that place yourself. So I've really been loving their new record as well.
It's so good. I cannot wait to spin the song and for us all to listen to it together because it is so good. So we're going to spin a handful of songs here. We got Heading North by Brett Hansen and Mallory here. We're going to listen to Little Bird by Cynthia Hamar, and then finally the Tree Song by Loud in the Pines. And then when we come back, we're going to bring it a little bit back to you.
Thank you. Like a game, yeah. Dipping and diving, rising again, rising again. Joy in the journey, songs in the morning, songs in the day, songs in the evening, make light the way with a heart full of music. Eyes that see beauty and a love that disarms. Let there be joy,
joy in the These calloused hands, these aching feet, these groaning bones and these eyes that weep. We're moving forward, taking ground. No time to sleep.
Still
Background Noise is brought to you by Easy Noise, Alberta's newest booking service for independent musicians and venues. Check them out on Instagram at EZNOIZE. Get connected and make some noise. Now back to the show.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. I hope you enjoyed that handful of songs as much as I did. It just, again, this whole episode is really just making me want to go outside and just be in the trees for a little bit. It is a very nature-themed episode. And to continue with this almost nature-y theme, I want to spin one of your songs off of As Though I Had Wings. If you've listened to the episodes before, you know I'm a huge bird nerd. I love birds. I love birds so much. So obviously this album had a bird theme to it. And one of the ones was Oh Blackbird. So why don't you tell me a bit about it?
Oh, I love that you're a bird nerd. I relate. You know, this album is the result of a big songwriting project I did. I was, like many of us, over the pandemic, I had a lot of extra time on my hands and I decided to go back to school. I did a master's in music with a focus on songwriting as well as performance. So kind of balancing both writing songs, but also recording, you know, performances of them. And also with a sort of specialization in something called zoomusicology. And zoomusicology is the interpretation of animal sounds as music. And so as you might imagine, like bird song is a big piece of that, being some of the animals who are extremely melodious. But also it's really interesting. There's a lot of research around humpback whale noise as music as well within the zoomusicological field, which is super cool. Obviously, I live in a landlocked place. Humpback whales weren't easy for me to build relationship with in the same way birds have been throughout my life. I've always been a person who loves bird watching, and I grew up bird watching with the Wild Bird General Store's Junior Birding Club since I was a kid. So it speaks to my nerdiness. Ultimately, this project came about when I was, you know, having to put together a thesis and wanting to explore music and its galvanizing power to raise awareness about ongoing issues. And one of the issues close to my heart is, you know, seeing more and more of these species native to Alberta become endangered or in decline. And I wondered, like, is music maybe a more gentle way to invite people into the conversation about their declining populations? Because not that I think gentle is the only option, but I do know that sometimes it can be less alienating. And so I think, you know, music historically has been able to do that. There's a really amazing, you know, legacy of protest music, as we know, especially in the folk music genre. And so I decided to write these tunes in a way to explore a bit of the story of different species of birds that are experiencing population decline. And I actually went out and captured field recordings of the birds. And I did some of that on my cell phone, just using iPhone voice memo, and some of it with something I built called a parabolic sound reflector. And I got the field recordings and then wrote the pieces in the key of the bird song and tried to, you know, keep the rhythm and melody of the bird song intact. And I started with this little bird song as my seed melody. Then I built out the rest of the composition around it and then added lyrics. So Oh Blackbird is one that is based on the Call of the Red-Winged Blackbird, which fortunately, you know, we actually still have quite a few, and I always think of them this time of year because in spring they oftentimes are at their most abundant around these parts. At the same time though, their population since the 1970s has declined drastically, and it's been years now since I wrote my thesis, but I want to say by 70% or something like that, but definitely fact check me. But yeah, it's been quite drastic. And it's you know, I also wrote on that project about some birds who have seen even more atrocious decline, like the peregrine falcon, who at one point there were only 6 mated pairs left in Alberta, though thanks to conservation efforts are now up to over like 90, which is awesome and also shows the good news of it all, right? Oh Blackbird is based on that sort of cucklery sound of a red-winged blackbird that began as the seed melody, and the lyrics hope to tell a story that is rooted in birds being indicator species, who often are the first, you know, birds and bugs kind of can notify us that like something's changing around here, and we are, you know, dealing with either a change in our environment or habitat destruction or something like that. But I did this through weaving it together with a myth. So you can also see through these records, I'm a really big myth person. I find so much interest there. I was writing a bit based on the Welsh mythology image of Rhiannon, the goddess Rhiannon, who often appears with three blackbirds. And these blackbirds in Welsh mythology guard the threshold to the spirit world or the dead. And I thought, you know, there's an interesting parallel there between these birds kind of guarding the threshold and our birds, who also are some of the first to let us know when we are getting a little bit closer or further from that threshold of, you know, if we cross this, what happens? What does this mean for the species or the environment around them? So weaving that together and with the inspiration of the actual bird song melody itself, I created O Blackbird.
Okay, that has to be one of the coolest backstories I have heard yet so far. The fact that you use the actual bird calls and birds songs to start these songs is incredible. I love that so much.
I'm glad. It was a really fun but also difficult songwriting process.
I'm even more excited to listen to the song again now. It is so good. So this is O Blackbird off of Mallory's album, As Though I Had Wings. And then when we come back, unfortunately, do have to wind down the show a little bit, but I do have one more song to chat about before we go. And Alberta kids, you're gonna love this one.
He flew up to my window, wrapped upon it like a drum, from the marshes neath the sun, telling of something to come. And in his blackened shadows, I caught a glimpse of crimson red, vermilion his blood big bled. Could it really be the end? Tell me, Blackbird, what's it mean? Keeper of spring's holy green, bringing lessons from the cattail's present warning. Oh, Blackbird, what's it mean? In this age of reckoning, will I wake to see the poplars and the willow trees? What's it mean? Oh, what's it mean? He said he's lost his brothers, the warblers and the spotted owls, just echoes in the wind. It's hard to cry now, been mistreating a mother, but I can bring the dead to life. Just hang on to my feathers tight and fly with me into the night. Tell me, Blackbird, what's it mean? Keeper of spring's holy green, bringing lessons from the cattail's present warning.
Thank you.
Background Noise is brought to you by Easy Noise, Alberta's newest booking service for independent musicians and venues. Check them out on Instagram at EZNOIZE. Get connected and make some noise. Now back to the show.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. There were so many sounds and styles and songs. It was amazing. But unfortunately, we do have to wind down the show, but I do want to chat about one more song before we go. And as soon as I saw this title, I was like, this one's going in because these are one of those Alberta songs and it's Big Sky Country. So why don't you tell me a bit about that song?
Oh, well, you know what? Recording this song is one of the highlights of my career because I got 13 additional vocalists from here in Edmonton to join me on the recording. So I have never had the opportunity to experience that since. When I tour it and play it, you know, it's just me, or if I luck out, you know, my bandmates singing with me. But the recording was really special because you'll hear this almost choir of voices with me, and they were so fantastic, learned the song within, you know, the day before and joined me in studio to record it. But this song is one that I wrote in tribute to this beautiful place, Big Sky Country. And I know that, you know, probably applies to folks across the Canadian prairies and maybe in Montana or North Dakota or other areas in and around this gorgeous Big Sky Country. It came from a place, ironically, I wrote it in Toronto, but that's because I was there a little too much for a while. And I like Toronto, but you know, I think Edmonton's about the biggest city I would ever call home. And being in a city that big sometimes feels a little bit claustrophobic to me. And I think it's just largely because I'm not used to it. But I was really just missing being able to look up and just see this beautiful big sky. I felt like every time I tried to do that there, I was seeing, you know, towering buildings and bridges, and it's really neat to see in its own way, but man, I was missing the open space. And I just started writing about it from a place of longing, and I really wanted to invite other singers who, you know, feel the same way, who are from here and love that sky the way I do, to be a part of it. And I do a lot of touring and a lot of traveling, and I have to say, there is no sky like this sky. So yeah, we captured this one together, and I'm so glad we did.
I love that. And I'm totally with you. I can't count the number of times that I've been driving out in the boonies here, and you know, you just have that long road ahead of you, but you also have so much sky. And every single time, all I can think of is, God, I love Alberta, and our sky is so beautiful. Like, there's a reason there's a specific blue that's the Alberta sky blue, and it's breathtaking. It really is. So we're going to spin that song just a couple minutes here. But before we do, and before we end the show, Mallory, is there anything we should be keeping an eye and an ear open for you?
Oh, that's nice of you to ask. I just recorded a new EP back in April. I had the opportunity of being the artist in residence at the National Music Center for a week. And so I can't say when that's going to come out because I honestly don't know. But that means there is new music on the way. And at the very least, I have some new singles in the works for release this summer as well. So, you know, if you follow along on socials or on Spotify or wherever you get your music, you can stay tuned to that and hopefully check them out when the time comes. So you can check that out on my socials or my website, MalloryChipmanMusic.com, or at MalloryChipmanMusic on Facebook, or at ParanormalMallory on Instagram.
Amazing. Thank you again, Mallory, so much for taking the time to come on the show and share a bunch of the stories behind the songs. It was beautiful.
Thanks for having me, Dora.
This is Big Sky Country, off of Mallory's 2024 album, Songs to a Wild God.
Goldenrod between my toes, scent a lilac on my nose. Yeah, the winter's frigid cold, but that summer glow. Kiss my skin until it burns, kinda like it when it hurts. Peels me back till I'm just mirth, all smiles and dirt. Come with me to Big Sky Country. Follow me around the bend.
was lost and I was left in the white mud. Perfect pink Alberta rose. When I'm gonna think of us, bloom beneath the cloudy dawn, heaven's own.
Well, that's all I got for today, folks. Thanks so much for tuning into Background Noise. I had a blast. And hey, you know what? If you're a Canadian musician as well and you're thinking, I want to be on the show, just click the link in our Instagram bio at Background Noise the Show and we'll try to set something up.